This is Dave Bayless for Human Scale Business. I'm speaking with Patrick Rolland. Patrick is the former product lead for WooCommerce, the highly successful e-commerce plugin for WordPress sites. He's now an independent e-commerce consultant. So Patrick, for the last several years, you've played a key role at WooCommerce. As the audience will know, WooCommerce powers a huge number of e-commerce sites. And in that position, you must have had a great perch from which to observe a lot of the emerging trends in the industry. What do you see as being the most important trends or emergent phenomenon in e-commerce today?
Yeah, so I led three WooCommerce releases, which means mostly prioritizing the features that we release. And to do that, you have to really understand who your audience is and how they use your product. So I did a lot of customer interviews, and I figured out a lot about what's going on in the e-commerce space based on those. I think that the most notable thing is that you used to have to know a lot about technology to manage your store, or you would have to pay someone big money to manage your store, and they'd have to know all about the technology. Now, there's so many easy-to-use platforms that I think, according to BuiltWith, there's over 2 million e-commerce sites. So that's 2 million competitors that you just didn't have 5 years ago. So now, more than ever, you really need to have a phenomenal product and or phenomenal marketing. So that's the biggest thing, is just that the barrier to entry in e-commerce has come down, and now you really have to use your marketing or product development skills.
So notwithstanding your role at WooCommerce, I've noted that you're also a pretty big fan of Shopify. How would you advise somebody who was considering WooCommerce versus Shopify today?
There's also one more that I like, and that is Gumroad. And Gumroad is basically just a buy now button that you add to your existing website. So if you're selling, let's say, like one or two products, or maybe less than five, but like if you're just selling like an ebook, I almost always recommend people use Gumroad because it's not worth setting up this whole big store. It's better just to have a little button. It's just so much easier, less admin. But if you're selling more than that number of products, then I usually recommend Shopify or WooCommerce. I think Shopify has two big advantages, and WooCommerce has two totally different advantages. So Shopify is the king when it comes to being sort of like the center of your e-commerce hub. So when it comes to being connected to other services. So they have a phenomenal integration with Pinterest that lets you have buyable pins. And they have the same thing with Twitter for buyable tweets. So like little buy buttons in an actual tweet. So if you want to focus on Pinterest or Twitter, if you know how to use those marketing tools and you think they'll be a huge revenue driver, then picking Shopify just for that reason is a solid bet. On the other hand, if you are really good at content marketing, if you want to do that, WooCommerce is built on top of WordPress, arguably the best blogging platform out there. Shopify lets you create blog posts, but it's very basic. So if you want to do content marketing, you want to have all the tools available to you, I think WooCommerce is great for that. There's one more thing that separates these platforms, and that's your desire for, and this one's harder, this one's a lot harder to talk about, because it's your desire for customization versus stability. So if there's like a spectrum with customization on one end and stability on the other, WooCommerce is all the way on the customizable end, Shopify is on the stable end. Both of these things are important, but you'll never get both of them at the same time, so you kind of have to pick a platform that's good at one or the other. If you're happy with how a typical e-commerce store looks and functions, go for Shopify. If you have a unique brand or you're very picky about how you represent your brand online, WooCommerce is probably a better choice because you can customize every single line of code.
One thing I think would be helpful if you elaborated upon is WooCommerce is a platform that I use for reasons of the need or desire to do some customization or offer some very, you know, specific features. But there's a cost to that that I've found. To get customization, you really have to be ready to spend the time and attention to keep on top of it.
Yeah, no, so that's absolutely it. I always like to think of WooCommerce like a car and Shopify like public transit in New York City. With public transit, you can usually get where you want to in a reasonable amount of time, and you just have to buy a ticket and you're good to go. And if the train breaks down, they fix it. If the train is late, they'll send another one. You basically just get your ticket, you're good to go. If your car breaks down, you are the person that has to either fix it yourself or you have to take it into the mechanic. You have to try to remember to take them in for oil changes. And if you don't, you can, you know, cause problems down the line. When you do something self-hosted, which is what WooCommerce is, you manage all the code yourself, make sure you're pressing that update button. And if you're using like third-party plugins, those can sometimes cause issues. Going back to that analogy, it's kind of like you installing some aftermarket parts in your car. And if that breaks your car, you can't take it back to the manufacturer. You have to take it to the aftermarket parts person, or you have to fix it yourself. Shopify, you kind of have to go based on their public transit system, like what they allow you to do. But it just almost never breaks. And even if it does, they fix it. So that's a huge point.
That's a nice analogy. When I was learning about WooCommerce, I came upon your book, the WooCommerce Cookbook, which I found very useful. And I also understand that you offer several courses that are featured on lynda.com. Who are the people that your book and your courses are targeted to? Who should be taking your courses?
Good question. So first of all, let me just say that I got into web development using lynda.com, I think something like 7 or 8 years ago. So I remember taking my very first Learn HTML course, and then a Learn CSS course, and then a Learn JavaScript course, all on Lynda. So Lynda is like video tutorials, and it covers everything. So there's Learn HTML, there's dozens of WordPress courses, and then I just started adding some e-commerce courses to their library. So I added a WooCommerce course, an advanced theming course. So if you consider yourself a developer, and by developer, in this case, I mean a coder, the Advanced WooCommerce Theming Course shows you all of the tiny, but amazing ways you can customize WooCommerce. So let me go back to that bit about customization. So have you ever heard of the rule of 100?
No.
So I geek out about this stuff. There's pricing psychology. If you're selling a $5 pen and you sell it for $4 because it's a sale, you can either say it's $4, $1 off, or you can say $4, 20% off. When you sell small products that cost less than $100, when you say like 20% off, it sounds better, or it sounds more impressive and people are more interested by it. On the flip side, if you sell a $500 TV and you're selling it for $400, you could say it's $100 off, or you could say 20% off. The 20% off doesn't seem that big, but $100 off, now that seems like amazing. So one of the many things that I show you in that course is, when you're displaying sales prices, here's a little bit of code that I wrote, just a couple lines, that says, if the price is more than $100, show it this way. If it's less than $100, show it this way. And that will get you more conversions, more sales, because it seems like a more impressive discount. The advanced theming course is pretty advanced. There's also a WordPress e-commerce fundamentals course, which is all of the basic stuff, like the cost of acquisition, which is how much it costs people to get to your site, and an average order value and stuff like that. And then the WooCommerce cookbook is similar to the advanced theming course on Lynda, where there's lots of little snippets. At the beginning of every chapter, there's like easy lessons, there's easy bits, and then it gets to intermediate bits, and then it gets to like advanced bits where there's code. So the book is kind of pretty wide and can be applied to everyone. The Lynda courses, one is pretty easy and one is definitely advanced.
Patrick, you recently left your life in the corporate world to become an independent e-commerce consultant. What prompted the move, and what is it about being out on your own as an entrepreneur that you find both particularly stimulating and challenging?
I'll start with why I left. I joined WooThemes. I think I was employee like 33, 34. And then WooThemes was acquired by Automattic just over a year ago, maybe more like a year and a half. And we went from a company, we were 50 then, and we joined this company, and now Automattic is 500 people. I mean, you can just imagine that a company is very different when it's 30 people and it's scrappy and it's bootstrapped, meaning there's no like venture capital, compared to a company of 500 people that's venture-backed, and it's just a very different culture. So I just wanted to go and do my own thing. And I think in smaller teams, a team of one being the smallest, you can do things very quickly, very fast, and you can pivot very quickly. And I always like that. So that's why I wanted to go on my own. As for stuff that's like challenging, I use this system called Profit First, and there's a book called Profit First. So I'm learning all about cash flow. And Profit First encourages you to take out your profits before you pay your expenses, before you pay yourself. And they also kind of suggest on how much you should pay yourself based on how many people are in your team, what type of industry it is, and how much money you make. And one of the things that I didn't realize when I was going out on my own is that in Profit First, they recommend that you pay yourself 50% of the income you make, and then you spend, like, I think 30% on expenses and 15% on taxes and 5% on, like, profit for the company. That basically means I have to make twice as much money as I had thought I would have had to make. I've built up a big runway, so I have plenty of time to figure it out. It's just interesting and challenging.
You've described yourself in your role as an e-commerce consultant as a holistic optimizer. What does that mean to you?
So I'm working with two clients right now. And I thought, one of these clients I thought would actually be really straightforward. They have a successful product, but they've never done marketing. So I thought I could just put in some basic marketing practices like blog about this many types a week. But I set up a couple systems for them. And one of them was their Net Promoter Score, which is a Net Promoter Score, NPS, is when someone asks you on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to recommend this product to a friend or colleague? And the way you get your score is it's the number of promoters, which are people who give you a 9 or 10, and you subtract the number of detractors, which is like 0 through 6. So companies like Amazon and Apple have a Net Promoter Score of like 60 or 70. So that's like, you know, 80 or 90% of their customers love them, and then maybe like 10 to 20% don't like them. And so that's how you get that number of 60 or 70. And that's a very good score, right? 60. If you're like Comcast, it'll be negative, where there's like 10% love you and 50% really are just, they're just looking for the next cheapest competitor. So I set up NPS for this client, and I know the product is amazing because I've used it myself. But when he started looking at the NPS scores, and we've got a couple hundred in now, their NPS is like right around 0, which means that half the people will say, oh my God, this is the best product ever. And the other half of the people will say, no, under no circumstances should you use this. I highly recommend you use something else. And that's a problem. And I know it's a good product. And so I think what's happening is I think there's like some sort of disconnect, like maybe we're selling features that aren't our best features. Like we're talking about things, or we're talking to like the wrong type of customer. So, and then we looked at the analytics. And I looked at our top 3 blog posts on that site, and they actually generate a lot of revenue. But when you look at who's buying it, they're people that buy something from us once and then like never buy something from us again. So I think what we're doing is we're able to sell ourselves, but we're selling ourselves on the wrong thing. And that's why people are unhappy. So I think we need to drastically change what we talk about and not just look at, cool, we wrote a blog post and after 3 months, this is how much revenue it generated based on SEO and leads and whatnot. We need to start looking at how do we get high value customers? And I think if you just hired a content expert, they would just tell you, cool, this content generates this many leads or generates this amount of sales, and they'd leave it at that. I tend to look at the whole big picture. So like, even though I wanted to just say, cool, I think you guys should write this many blog posts on this topic, that I don't think that's the problem. I think we're actually communicating the totally wrong message and we need to change our message. So it's just a more holistic look at the whole product life cycle, who uses it, why they use it, how we get good customers, how do we be profitable? It's kind of everything.
What I'm taking away from your comments is that while I think the norm in digital marketing is to focus in on a particular technical or tactical aspect, content development, or it's some of the, you know, the nuts and bolts. And your approach is how to use the e-commerce digital channel strategically and to think about, in a broader sense, the fundamentals of marketing and positioning and communicating your message. We've touched upon the issue of content and content marketing a couple of times in our conversation, and many in our audience are sort of inundated with the message that content marketing is the thing. But many find that it's really challenging. You know, they're small businesses and complex businesses, as a consequence, extremely busy. And how does one go about managing this challenge of, on the one hand, creating appropriate and high quality content that is likely to have some impact, and managing against the thousand and one other things they could be doing with their business and their time?
That is a very hard question. And it's so here's the thing. I think if you have a good enough product, it's easy to like look at how many new people are coming into your site via SEO, coming to your site through SEO, content marketing, they buy something, you can go, oh, wow, if we pay a writer to write more articles, we'll probably be able to increase this. That's good. I think but it's harder for people who aren't there yet. Like if you don't have a super successful product, I think it's hard to get the numbers to back up that it's working. And I think in the beginning, when you don't have data that says that content marketing is working or SEO is working or whatever strategy you're using is working, I think in terms of writing, you need to do it for some sort of internal motivation. Like all the stuff I write is stuff that I'm curious about. So when I released the WooCommerce cookbook, I made a little experiment. I sent out all these links via social, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, at least those three. There's a special link. I tracked how many people clicked it and then how many people went from the blog post from those clicks and then clicked from my personal blog post over to the website to buy the book. And I did the same thing with my newsletter. And everyone says that like newsletters are like the way, like once you get an email address, you can it's easier to convert people who are email subscribers than just random people on social media. And I just ran a little experiment to see like how true that was. And for my book, I think I sold like 20 via social media, and I think I sold like 21 via the newsletter. So it wasn't all that big of a difference. So I learned something. I wrote up two separate posts, maybe two or three posts on just that one topic of like, hey, here's how I'm marketing my book. So if you're running some sort of store, you're selling something, I mean, you can talk about pricing. You can talk about marketing. You can talk about customer support. That'll bring people into your domain. And then once you get bigger and have a successful product, then I think you will actually have like the numbers that prove that it makes sense. And then you can maybe hire a writer once you prove that it's working. And until you get to that point, just be curious and test things.
Yeah, and it's consistent with my experience, especially early on. You can't analyze data when there's no data. And it takes time for the cumulative effect to translate into something observable. So write about what you want to write about.
Can I add one thing? I don't think content marketing is the holy grail. I think content marketing is one very good strategy, but it doesn't mean it will work for every business. There's this amazing book called Traction, and they identify something like 19 traction channels, like, you know, social media, SEO, SEM. One of them is meeting people at conferences in real life. And I just started my own business, and all of my clients so far are all people that I've met in real life. So even though I have a blog, even though many thousands of people are coming to that blog and it's probably keeping me top of mind, none of those people have actually turned into like leads and asked me to do something with them. I made a whole bunch of connections at conferences over the last couple of years. And when I said, hey, I'm going out on my own, do you guys need any work? They're like, oh my God, yes. You talked about this and this and this at the last conference. And I think that would be so useful for my business. Don't underestimate the other 18 traction channels to get leads, to get business. Content marketing is great, but it's not everything.
That's a good point. And particularly when you're dealing with high trust products and high trust services, that's extraordinarily difficult to build solely online. The content cultivation can support it and affirm it, but I think that's one of the things that the human scale businesses that we serve learn sooner or later is that online is crucial, but they've got to get out and touch people. When you see new business people, maybe they're not new business people, but they're new to e-commerce channels, what are the biggest mistakes that you see people making consistently?
So there's a couple e-commerce models that I don't really recommend. And it's not that they're bad. It's just that the way people talk about these models make it sound like it's free money. I hear a lot about dropshipping. I hear a lot about affiliate marketing. I hear a lot about like people that there's custom e-commerce. I don't even know if I call them e-commerce, but there's custom like third-party applications that will, you can like list stuff on eBay for like a high cost, and then people will buy it on eBay, and then this little system will like automatically under your Amazon account buy it and ship it to the person for less than it cost on eBay. Like, some people are just too lazy to like look for a lower cost thing, and so they'll just go to eBay, buy it. And you could actually make a business off of that. But it's not, when people talk about this stuff, it's like, cool, you just set up this machine and then you make $100 million for forever. It is not that easy. There is always work. And if there ever was some sort of magical system, everyone in the world would do that, and the margins on that would come down, and it wouldn't be a viable business anymore. So if anyone ever talks about setting up something magical for free, like dropshipping, affiliate marketing, something like that, it's probably exaggerated. There are good dropshippers out there. There are good affiliate marketers out there. But just understand that there's a lot of work that goes into those businesses, and it's not magical. The second thing is, I'm a just ship it kind of guy. And by that, I mean, get your site up and running and get it out there. So even if your site's like not 100% done, like there's no contact form and you can't figure out how to install the contact form, that's fine. Like, launch your site, figure out the contact form tomorrow morning or the next week. Or, you know what, even Google Analytics, like that would be one of the first things I'd install. But if you can't get it before you launch your site, install Google Analytics tomorrow morning, install your newsletter service like MailChimp the day after that. Like, just get it out there. Because I think the earlier you get it out there, the earlier you can get feedback from people and make changes and adjustments. Until you do that, you don't have any real data other than your gut. And I think it's so useful to just put something out there, let people give you feedback on, oh, Patrick, this was great, but I wish I could buy this product in a bundle. Oh, cool. Next week, I'm going to look at how to build this in a bundle and I'll sell it to people, rather than trying to figure out everything right before you launch. So just whatever you're working on, just launch it and get feedback from people and make it better the next week.
It's not very helpful to bring a lot of, you know, in a broader business sense, there's a lot of skills that people develop in MBA courses that aren't entirely relevant. You know, you can't analyze fog. You've got to go take an action to create the data that you can then analyze. Then you can put that into your decision-making processes. But a lot of the help that these kinds of companies need are to figure out, okay, I could take several actions. Which is the action that's probably going to generate the most learning the fastest? Don't tell me what's going to be right or wrong. We have no idea. Go do something. That generates data. But have a plan for figuring out how you're going to incorporate data.
Yeah. And that's okay. So I'm reading this book called The Originals, and it's about how like people create new original ideas and stuff like that. And there's this fascinating part about like, if you want to do something amazing in the world, how do you do that amazing thing? Whether it be write scientific papers, whether it be write music, whether it be invent the most creative architecture buildings. And one of the findings that they talk about in this book is you just have to do a lot of stuff. And they talk about like Johann Bach, I think is right. This is his first name. I think he wrote over 1,000 pieces of music, over 1,000, and only like a handful of them are in the top 100 of all classical music or whatever. I think you just have to create a lot of data, a lot of products, a lot of strategies, and then you see what works. I used to create these little pieces of software for if you are in the WordPress space, there's a form builder called Ninja Forms, and I built all these like integrations for Ninja Forms. So like, if you want to have someone fill out a form on your website, I built this little integration that turns it into a PDF, so you can like email it to people and it's in a nice pretty PDF instead of like in an email. Anyway, I built all these things. I think I built 8 of them. One of them was a huge hit. One of them broke even. The other 6 made me basically no money. You just have to look at it in the way of, okay, I will be making mistakes. You just have to create data. I like what you said. I will create as much data as possible, figure out what works, and then build on top of it.